Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
It's important that you see yourself so low because God has a plan for you when you go low. So let me get to the fourth degree of humility. The fourth degree of humility consists of wanting. I'm repeating that on purpose. You have a desire for wanting your neighbors. Who are your neighbors? Anybody, your sisters and brothers in Christ, your literal neighbors who live next to you, your family members, wanting your neighbors to believe for you to be insignificant and unimportant. So you want to basically be so, you want your neighbors, you want them, you don't, because we are living in a world where everybody wants somebody to know their name. Everybody wants somebody to know what they're good at. Everybody wants somebody to know who they are and what their best talent is because they want to be known for that. But here the word of God is letting us know that we need to not want to be important. We need to have that desire to want to be insignificant. And the test of whether or not you have reached this degree depends on how you feel when you are publicly slighted or appointed to a lowly task. Some of us are so high and mighty for pastors, preachers, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we fly here in our name and we author books and we have a private jet and, you know, somebody gives us a mop. And then the Lord watches that. If somebody gave you a mop and said, "Ooh, King Pastor, can you please help me mop this floor?" Or if you see the floor needing mopping, would you grab a mop, knowing that you have a staff probably that does mop, but would you still be able to do some of the lowly tasks?
Who looks
at how we respond publicly? What if you're not that high bishop or that high prophetess or that high pastor or whatever? But what if you were just somebody who got promoted on your job? What if you were somebody that, you know, has done something great? But when something like that happens and you're publicly slighted, how do you feel? If your first reaction is, "I don't do this. I'm past this. I've been promoted. Do you know who I am?" Then you already know that you're not passing this degree of humility. So then we have the fifth degree of humility. It consists of supporting patiently the insults of others. This is when it starts to get good, because now you're reaching a point where God is going to bring forth people to cross your path that are going to purposely pick on you, that are going to purposely try and call you out, that are purposely going to try and pick a fight with you publicly so that you can even embarrass yourself publicly. This is when people insult you. They may call you out, accuse you of doing things that maybe you didn't do. And God is saying, can you suffer it with patience? Can you suffer patiently the insults of others? A truly humble person is never hurt. A truly humble person is never hurt by what others say about him or her, because he or her knows, even though the accusations may be wrong, there are still other areas in their life that need perfecting. He takes criticism in a positive way. So even if somebody's calling you out on something you did or something you didn't do, you're not offended, you're not hurt, because in your eyes you're just like, okay, cool. Whether you did that wrong or not, you're still assessing yourself. Well, how can I be better in that area so that I'm not even accused of this again? I mean, you're looking at it literally as a good thing, and you're taking it as practice for criticism. There are some people that can't even take criticism. They can't, you know, because either number one, you know, you're trying to tell somebody about themselves. You're trying to tell somebody, you know, you want to correct them and maybe give them encouragement on how to do it better, but they, as soon as you try and give them some type of, you know, suggestion, maybe you could do it this way. Well, don't you know who I am? I went to school for this. Oh, I've been doing this for 10 years, and, you know, and then they get a puffed up attitude about it. So you're like, man, I can't even tell them. I'm trying to help you out. You know, but it doesn't go right all the time because people don't. But that's what I said earlier. Pride hinders you to receive the truth. It hinders you to receive correction. So the sixth degree of humility, this is when it gets really good too, because now we're not just dealing with insults. We're dealing with now some physical manifestations.
Oh, Lord.
The sixth degree of humility consists in the acceptance of disdain treatment, meaning you got to take it humbly when someone mistreats you. This is when maybe it's not so much physical, like punch you in the face and all of that, but I've been spat on. There have been people that have spat on me. There have been people who maybe have spat on you, that have shoved you, walked past you and purposely brushed against you hard. People get in your face and shove you, or as we call it, muffed you. That used to really get underneath my skin. On my forehead and muff me. But that was one of those things, don't touch me. But God is saying, what if somebody muffed you? What if somebody got so close to you and spit on you? Purposely, no, they spitting on you. I mean, what are you going to do? Our first reaction in the world, you know, is don't let nobody take your dignity and you lash out and put them paws on them. So, you know, what do you do? When now it's now coming to a physical manifestation. But God is saying you got to take it humbly. You got to be humble and take it when people treat you disdainfully. So now the last one is the seventh degree of humility. And this is, the highest degree. This is where Jesus is operating. So the seventh degree of humility, which is the highest, consists in loving to be treated with contempt. Loving it. Some of us, we deal with it because it just happened to be on the path that we're crossing. But now you got to love it. This is where we all have to be in pursuit of when we go to humility or we're pursuing humility. We got to now actually, like Jesus, love it. We got to love to be treated with contempt. So you would know it's kind of like the same of the sixth degree where you got to take the disdain treatment. But this one, the only difference is that you got to love it. You got to love and desire the disdain treatment. So Jesus himself, known as the infallible Word of God, expressed that the fruit of humility is peace of mind, which he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's Matthew 11:29. I love that scripture. So thus we see that humility is the only means of acquiring inward peace. He has so much peace, people of God. And I don't have to tell you the whole story of Jesus, but he was disdainfully treated. I mean, he died on the cross. Before he even got to the point where he was about to die on the cross, even the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him, they tried to get him, you know, locked up. They tried to catch him up in his teachings. They tried to make him a laughingstock. They tried to make a publicly muse out of him and tried to accuse him of blasphemy and all of this other stuff. But Jesus loved it. In the Word of God, if you can't feel the love when you read that story that came from Jesus, I don't know what else to tell you. You will actually see as you reread the gospel how Jesus loved it. He loved when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to try and trip him up. And Jesus was so cool. And he would often confound the Pharisees and the Sadducees with his response. They expected him to be riled up and angry, but he would just calmly give a story or parable, or he would respond with maybe one or two sentences, and it would leave them dumbfounded. He loved using peace and humility to confound and dumbfound the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, their reputation was they publicly wanted everyone to know that they were holy men. Even when they fasted, they would, you know, put ashes on their face, and they would go around moping with, you know, quote-unquote weakness, and they would always say, whoa, we have been fasting. We are holy men. We are great. And God is saying the opposite. When you fast, wash your face. Don't let nobody know. You may have to let a few people know just so they know, but, you know, don't make it a spectacle. I'm fasting. I know somebody on Facebook who was attempting like a, I think a 20-day fast or something like that. And they literally announced it. They announced a countdown until the fast, and then when they got on the fast, they did a countdown. This is day one. Oh, I feel the glory of God. I feel God.
Yes, they did.
They did. Oh, how must I go up? Pray for me, saints. I mean, spectacle over something that needs to be so intimate between you and the Lord. But this is how pride gets into our life, and it begins to demonstrate in our actions.
Mm.
So this is when
amen,
we look,
amen.
This is when we look at amen, when we look at Jesus, who is the ultimate example of what it is to be humble. We see how when he walked and when he preached, he did it with peace. He did it with love. He loved, oh my gosh, he loved it. Even when he got crucified, when he was walking and he was beaten and had to carry that big old cross, he wanted the cup to pass, of course, but when he had to go forward and he uttered not his mouth. It's so true. He could have called to heaven and legions of angels would have came and carried him unto heaven or carried the cross for him. But he chose to bear the suffering with contempt and patience because he knew the reward. He knew the reward was great. The Bible does tell us our reward. When we are humble, the Bible lets us know that there's honor and riches that follow. When we are humble, there is a reward of honor. There is a reward of riches. Because God, understand this, God, he loves it when we're a humble people. He loves it when we go into a situation. When we go into a situation and we know that we're going to be talked about. We know that we're going to be slandered. We know that we're probably going to be scattered. But if we do it for his name's sake, if we suffer for his name's sake or his righteousness' sake, we get a point in heaven. Until we make our name nothing, that's when God will have the opportunity to make our name something. How does he make our name something? Understand, people of God, it's not just here on earth, but he proclaims our name even in heaven. People know about us in heaven. He said, if you are not ashamed of me, I will not be ashamed of you. He preaches our name in heaven. He said, these are my sons. These are my daughters. That's Cynthia. That's my daughter. She's preaching what I told her to preach. She's giving me the glory and the honor. That's my daughter. So he preaches, and he's proud of us. I'm godly proud. Well, we do what we need to do, but not only that, here on earth as well. Because when you make yourself small and lowly to the ground, God loves to show off people who are for him. And it seems backwards, but that's the way it is. See, that's the important thing. He likes to do it. See, when people begin to do it themselves, he takes his hand off of it. He says, okay, since you want to promote yourself, since you want to make your name great yourself, then I'm just going to let you do it. But I don't know about you, but nobody can market you like God. When you make your name nothing, when you become humble for the Lord, when you begin to work on the areas of pride in humility by staying in prayer, praying in a broken spirit, by fasting, pushing back your plate and doing sacrifice and worship to him, when you begin to make yourself nothing and all you truly want is just the full manifestation of God upon your life, then God says, let me make your name great. You are so humble. You're so faithful for few. All you do with your little small money, even with your bills behind, even with no car, even with no food, you still give me praise. You're still faithful in your worship. You don't let the things that you're lacking in the natural disrupt your relationship with me. So because you've been faithful over this, because you've been patient, because you have demonstrated in contempt, and you're calm and okay with your situation, and all you're doing is still pursuing a relationship with me, then I'm going to bless you. Then I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to call men and women and enemies to give to your bosom. That's what I'm going to give to
your
bosom and take you. You're going to be called to give exaltation or seminars or preaching or healing crusades. Then that's when I got a new car with your name on it. I got a new house with your name on it. I got salvation for the children you've been praying over. I got your prayers that need to be answered because you have sought me. He said, you have sought me first and my kingdom of righteousness, and then all the other things are going to be added unto you because you are seeking me first. You want to be right with me first. You realize that I deal with the heart. He does not look at us the way that we look at ourselves. He deals with our heart. a heart. And he says,
give me a heart
because you seek to want to be like me. You seek to make your feet like hind feet. You don't want to create any other snow tracks in the snow. You want them to go and model right after my same footprint. You want to be humble like me. You want to be lowly like me.
Come
on. About your reputation. You're not concerned who knows that you do this, who knows that you can do that, who knows that you're the greatest singer. All you want to do is sing unto me. You want to sing just to my ears. And you want
Hallelujah.
To me. If I tell you to go here, no matter how odd it may look, no matter how it may look to other people, you're going to be a pleasing to me.
Hallelujah.
So excited, he started dancing before the Lord. He didn't care what people looked like. He didn't care what people were going to say. He danced, and he got so into it. The Bible says he danced out of his clothes. Don't you know that? Man, that was bizarre back then, let alone now. Let somebody be dancing and fall down or something like that. We'll be like, that's not of the Lord. That's the devil. We want to rebuke them. But we're so caught up in what we're going to look like in the eyesight of men that nobody's concerned about what they look like in the eyesight of God. And God is saying, who's going to humble themselves enough not to care about a relationship, not to care about a reputation, not to care about what people are saying about them, what people are putting on Facebook, how people will create blogs about you, how people will create a whole website just to tear you down. He said, I'm looking for somebody who's stronger than that, who doesn't care about even what you think about yourself. You just want to go ahead and do what God said do.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hold us back. Sometimes people not even caring about what we're doing, but we'll stop ourselves because we'll be thinking about what other people are saying. God, is anybody even caring about you right now at this particular time? But you
tell it.
If I do that, what will people think? What will people say? What will my family do? They're going to think I'm crazy. God has said, even yourself, who can put themselves down and say, God, I just want to run with you.
My God.
You know, we walk with God,
God
in a lowly heart, meekly. Until we begin to practice the Beatitudes, until we begin to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, until we begin to pick up our cross for real, and be consistent in it for real, then we're limiting the presence and the manifestation of God's glory in our life. Until we begin to pursue after, hear me good, then I'm finished. Until we begin to pursue after humiliating situations. This is all part of the seventh degree of humility. You got to love it. You got to desire it. You can't run from it. There's a lot of us who call ourselves believers and we run from it. We run from disdain acts. We run from humiliating acts. But God is saying run to it because every opportunity that you get to prove that you're humble unto me, that you get humiliated, that's when I take it and I use that as your promotion. That's when I take it and I use that for your promotion in my kingdom. I give you more of my power. I know that you sold out for me. That's another opportunity you get to tell God, for you I live, for you I die.
Hallelujah, that's right.
It's something that's not preached in church. It's something that's not preached behind the pulpit. You know why? Because most of the leaders, they know if they have to preach on pride, they will have to face a whole lot in their own life. And who wants to look in a mirror when what's looking back at you is the spirit of pride? So all you get is a little brush over, just get pride out of your life because God doesn't like it. Anyway, God is here, pick you up, turn you around, place your feet, and, you know, we preach about other stuff. But this is what is going to keep you. This is what is going to draw God to return.
Right.
He returns. He's looking for a glorious church. He's looking for a church that's modeling after him, that's going to be in a replica or a sitting image of what he is. This is for me, this is for you, this is for Apostle Smith, this is for every leader, every lay member, every missionary, every teacher, everybody who calls themselves saved and sanctified, everybody that says that they're a follower of Christ, this is for you.
Lord, that's right.
Lord. I know what I'm talking about, and this isn't the last time we're going to talk about it, because God made it clear we got to teach on this, and we got to keep it before the people. there's still a lot more that I didn't even touch on. I said, God, I'm going to have to bring up this another time. And he said there will be other times for that. But at least the core of it I was able to bring out and inform you and teach you and preach, whatever you want to call it. So God is saying this is something serious to his heart, people of God. Don't let these expressions in one ear and out the other. I'm glad that you say you were encouraged. I'm glad, but I want to know if your life has changed. How are we going to know if your life changed? By your actions, by your humility.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it has changed me before when I first started dealing with it. And now revisiting a lot of this and preaching on it, I'm saying, God, I could do a lot better. I want to get to that seventh degree. I want to get, it's not comfortable. It's not. It's not comfortable when you feel like, because with that, you're alone. When people against you, slandering you, spitting on you, and when people are treating you with disdain, it's not comfortable. You feel alone. You feel rejected. But that's when your relationship with God increases. That's when you become even more intimate with the Lord. And that scripture where he says he'll never leave nor forsake you, that's when it comes to light. Because that's when he will come and he'll make himself known in your loneliest moment, in your loneliest moment. I know what I'm talking about. I have lost everybody in my life because of this ministry, because of me taking the call or accepting the call, because of us being obedient. I've had people that have been in my life for 20-something years, my biggest fans, as I call them. I love them. They love me, been there supporting me. But as soon as I begin to walk in this ministry, in this call, they turn their backs on me.
Yeah.
Talking about me, laughed at me, thought it was a joke, thought that this is a phase, called me up and tell me, I have an unction, you're going to fail. You might as well come back. I have people who are not doing this once or twice. They're searching me out just to give me their testimony how they think I'm going to fail.
My God.
I stand there. And, it used to hurt me. I would stand there. I wouldn't say anything back. But I would come back to my house, and I would cry. And then I've had to say, Lord, I don't want to cry every time somebody says something about this. Because they would, I love these people. So God began to deal with me. And he said, spend time with me. And as I spent time with him, and then in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:5, it talks about when you worship, when you get in his presence, you become clothed. You become in a cloak of humility.
Mm-hmm.
See, some of us, the reason why we can't stand to be in a humiliating situation is because you're not even clothed in humility. You don't even have the cloak on because you didn't even spend time in worship. You haven't spent any time with the Lord. How can you even take a humiliated situation and you have not even put on the garment that will protect you, that will keep you from lashing out? But it all goes back to the whole basis of this is just spending time with God, worshiping
Him. That's right.
It is.
Because in your worship, He clothes you. In your worship, he puts on the armor of God. In your worship, you become clothed in humility. So as I begin to worship and spend more time with him, and when I made up in my mind that I'm going to serve him, because the Bible is so true. He said, unless you hate your mama, unless you hate your sisters, your brothers, your husband, I'm putting in there cousins, uncle, aunties, whatever it is. He said, then you will be my disciple. So the Lord had to let me know I had to put away everything. My family, I had to put away everything. My friends, I had to put away everything just to, it's a cost. It is a cost to really search out the Lord.
Yes, God.
It is really a cost and a price to really go after the things of God. You will be in a situation where you're behind in your rent. We've been there. The Lord let us know we're coming out of it. We have been a year behind in our rent because we're doing things for the ministry. Because every time I go and pay, the Lord has us put our money somewhere else. And I'm like, but God, this man needs his money. But God said, I got the man. I got your landlord. You will not be homeless.
That's right.
Thank you, God.
When you can live in a house, we were in this house. The rent was high. We were going to move a few months after we got here. The landlord is a pastor. And when we announced to him that we're going to give him his money back and we're going to get out of here, he said, but no, I want you to stay in this house. What can I do to make it work for you? I said, well, the rent is too high. So then he lowered the rent by $150. And he said, okay, would that be okay? And I said, okay. So we went forward. We were paying it, but it was still a big thing because the rent was already high and we had to pay every utility. Every utility. That was a lot for us at that moment. This is years ago. So then We call them up again and say, landlord, we are going to move. I'm sorry, it's just too much. He said, well, no. You all keep my house so beautiful. I want to be able to, I know I could trust you. What can I do to make it work? He lowered the rent another $100, another $50. So now our rent was $200 less. And then he said, what if I pay all the utilities? I said, my God, this man does not know.
Hallelujah.
Just him, it was the spirit of God. God had us here for a purpose. He wouldn't let us leave for whatever reason. So I said, okay, you got it. So we stayed here. But we got behind in our rent because there was so much going on. Because no matter how money was coming in, it was going out. And I said, God, how can we do it? So I know what it's like to be behind a year behind in your rent. But then you call them up and you try and work something out, and the landlord say, you know what? I know you're going to give me my money. I know this is going to work out for you. He'll call and he'll say, I got you. Now, this man could be a jerk. This man could came because this is his house. He could have came, changed the locks. He could be ringing our doorbell every single day, harassing us. He can come by. We pull up in the driveway, and he's sitting on the porch. Where's my money? He could be so, just annoying. But the man is so respectful. I said, God, I can't wait till you bless me because I want to give something extra to this man. But we believe all along that the Lord has been touching his heart. We know that the Lord has given us grace. I know what it's like. It is a price when you call, when you answer the call upon the Lord. You don't have food some nights. And the little money that you do have, sometimes the Lord allows somebody who needs a little bit more than you to come by. And you're like, Lord, this is all I have. And then you give it. People don't know half the time when we have blessed them, they took our last. It wasn't for them, though. Why would I ever tell somebody you take my last so it could be guilt? That's prideful. I've given my last to you. Why would I want to make a spectacle? You bless in secret, he'll reward you openly.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I know what it's like. It's a price. People will turn their back on you. You will be talked about. People will pick on you. I had a boss that was a witch, a literal witch. And the Lord showed me in two dreams her doing spells on me. But they weren't working. Okay. The Lord removed her 5 months later, praise God.
Hallelujah.
To have people come against you, talk about you, don't even know you, who cursing your ministry, cursing your members. But that's the price that you pay because you realize the reward is much greater.
Come on,
you may have to go through some things, people of God. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to feel like you're low to the ground. But God says embrace it because I'm lowly. I'm me.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.